You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. Have you ever gotten tired of feeling like you are continuously being rated? Well, I bet for some of you that may be the case, and you're probably also thinking it's a bit one-sided right now. But are you aware in the not too distant future, the way you rate your clients in return will also impact them in a big way? And that day may not be too far away. If you're a fan of the show Black Mirror on Netflix, you probably know where I'm going here. The show is written, they say, 10 minutes into the future, and the Black Mirror is your phone. There is one particular episode of the show where real estate is a central theme, and the central character, a kind of nice gal by the name of Lacey Pound, wants to get herself into an exclusive apartment building. But there's a problem. She can't afford the apartment with a social score of only 4.2. She needs to be a 4.5 influencer for her rent to come down to a level that she can afford to pay. In Lacey's world, these ratings are based on an app that allows everyone to rate each other on every conversation and every interaction. And I suppose it's a bit of a cautionary tale on what might happen in a world where that is normal. Today, it is normal on apps like Uber. If you take an Uber ride, your Uber driver gives you a rating after every trip. If you haven't checked out the Black Mirror series or this particular episode that I'm talking about, it's season 3, episode 1, and the title is Nosedive. It's well worth a watch. If I haven't convinced you of that yet, a listen to this episode of the podcast with my special guest, Nigel Dalton, maybe will. For those of you that don't know Nigel, he's a bit like Q on James Bond and gets to play with all of those cool toys in the REA labs. As I love a good yarn on technology, we talk about how trust rating scores are impacting your business now and why it's not just one thing that you need to watch. What to do if you get a bad review, and how being part of a high-performance team can go some way to solving these problems. So welcome to the podcast, Nigel Dalton.
Thanks for coming to the REA Labs, and welcome to our crazy little world where we're full of gadgets and full of ideas, and it's lovely to have visitors.
We love coming here, and we caught up with you at ARIC, which was such a crazy time. So it's really good to be able to catch up with you here in a bit of peace and quiet, because you had some amazing stuff going on at ARIC this year, those little virtual selves. So tell us a bit about that and what that was all about.
We always love to have fun at ARIC. And last year we went with robots and talking about how, you know, the average real estate agent's under some threat from artificial intelligence and robots doing their job. If they're just waking up in the morning and downloading a script and repeating it in a lounge room in the afternoon, then that's a bit average and that is going to be automated. As it's turned out, robots are quite expensive, so we looked for something more on the inexpensive line, and avatars and augmented reality have exploded in the last year. So we thought that'll be the thing, because everyone carries a mobile phone that lets you see avatars, a little 3D virtual reality characters. So no, robots are a bit last Thursday now, and it's all about avatars. It's so much fun. It's so interactive. It was really fascinating in designing the little avatars that we made. Making them too close to a human was scary. So we ended up with the dancing bobbleheads, just so people got used to this crazy new tech.
Because it is very possible in the future that we'll be looking at our best selves. So I was watching a show on Netflix called Black Mirror, which for some reason reminded me of you. Can you think why?
I can't imagine. It is actually a training documentary we use in REA Labs.
Yeah. Too,
because it extends your mind. And Charlie Brooke is, I don't think, the most optimistic writer of shows, but what an imagination.
There's one show in particular that I remember that I wanted to ask you about, which is, I think it's the one at the beginning of season 3.
That'd be Nosedive.
Nosedive, that's right, where we have a girl who is looking for a house and her real estate agent takes her for a tour and basically has taken a feed of all of her photos that are out there in the public domain and created a video of her basically living her best life.
We're there now. Charlie Brooker says that Black Mirror is set 10 minutes into the future. The mirror, of course, is your mobile phone. It's black when it's not on. And it's a world built around that. No Cyber is one of the scariest episodes because it's so close to our reality today. And property is central to the story. Lacey desperately wants to get into that beautiful new condominium block. She's held back because in this Black Mirror world, everyone has a social credit score. She needs to be 4.5 to get in. She's a 4.2. And what's surrounding her is holding her back. She has some immense moral decisions to make around, you know, her brother, who's a bit of a loser, gamer boy, stays at home, doesn't seem to have a job, 2 stars out of 5. He's dragging her down.
Yeah, I know. And so she's sort of got to go and get her reputation points up. So this is a really interesting thing for things like property management, where you may need to have, well, Lacey definitely needed to have a trust score of 4.2, or a reputation score rather, of 4.2 to be able to get into a certain building.
And she needs a coach. And I think this is really important for us as a society, is we have our physical presence, you and I here, but this is ever-growing digital avatar presence in the world. And the truth is, we all have avatars today. I could synthetically create a picture of you from your footprint online and get a pretty good picture, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like Lacey, I'd have better hair and I'd be cooking in the kitchen even though I can't cook. Like, you know, she's giving her this vision of the future in this house, and also a boyfriend.
Yes, so that'd be very handy for Lacey.
And as she's talking to the real estate agent, like, I remember this quite distinctly, she's actually saying, is that my future husband? And she says, well, I don't know, but we are pretty good at romantic matching.
I think you see the way the world's connected today. You just have to look at someone's kind of map on Twitter as to where they fit, who they follow. We're not really much more than one or two connections away from most of Australia, and in our industry, very, very tight.
Let's talk about the reputation scores again for a moment, because real estate agents are reviewed a lot. There's a lot of ratings and review systems out there, but this actually turns it on its head that says that in the future you'll be able to rate, and I'm sure agents will love this, as you'll be able to rate consumers.
Our dreams come true in the Nosedive episode, where all of those dilemmas we have about understanding whether we can trust someone or not, whether you're a bank making a loan, a real estate agent trying to, or a property manager trying to assess whether this is a reputable tenant or a methamphetamine dealer, and
Drug dealers are rated now, though, aren't they?
Very much so. That's one of my key talking points, is the way the dark web drug industry has solved this problem. So, no, if you think about banks, credit ratings, it's a concept we've always had, but it's always been secret. And it's always been kind of one way or the other. And now I credit Uber in Australia, rather than Airbnb, which also have a rating system, as normalizing us rating each other. It's actually a deeply un-Australian thing to do. As a very kind of equitable society, we don't like the idea of that. But this pressure on trust and transparency around things has become so great from the internet that we're having to buy into a 5-star rating system for everybody, whether you're a teacher, whether you're an inventor, whether you're a broadcaster or otherwise. The real dilemma is they're very easy to fake. And so far, finding a rating system that's trustworthy has proved quite difficult in Australia.
So how do you think that might work? So indeed, you and I could be sitting here and mentally you could be giving me a rating for each question that I'm asking you, thinking that was a good question or that was terrible. And likewise with you. So it could actually change, like, the news.
Oh, absolutely. And if I was Lacey in the show, you know, she gets a coffee in the morning and they've got this flick system where they flick my rating system towards you. You know, the utter disappointment in the lack of mutuality when the barista shoots it back a lower score. Then, well, we're giving away the plot here, but I dare say the name Nosedive gives you an idea it doesn't turn out well for Lacey and her desire to get into this beautiful apartment. I think the airport scene is my favorite in the whole thing, as it spirals very quickly out of control in a numerically oriented world.
You could go to jail for having a zero.
Well, look, this isn't science fiction. This is reality. This is China. They have a thing called the social credit score there. It's not 5 stars, slightly more sophisticated, from about 300 points to about 900 points, I think. And it plays into the Chinese history of having central monitoring of people for many, many decades accordingly. And they're pretty comfortable. It's a pretty tight, close, transparent sort of a society. And they've embraced the social credit score alarmingly. By 2020, they want the entire Chinese population on the system. I read recently that there were 30 million people with a complaint about their social credit score. So that must give us an idea that they're well on the way to having 100 million people or more on the system. Below 400 points, you're probably criminal and you can't get on public transport. We have staff in China. One of them was telling me recently a funny story that got on a train, and over the train came a public announcement, please be aware that you're being assessed for your social credit score on this train. And the missing link there, which happens in no time, is facial recognition. So we all thinking we're private in this country, for example, but you head downtown today and do a bit of shopping in Bourke Street Mall and you'll be photographed 200 times.
In Nosedive, she has eye sensors that are connected to a phone. How far away is that?
We're almost there with the iPhone 10 now opens on your face. And the technologies that are throughout the whole Black Mirror series, whether it's sort of telepathy or memory upgrades, virtual reality, are all here now. It's just a matter of they're not very evenly distributed around the world. And got a fair few of them in the lab here, but we won't try them on you, so don't worry.
I know. I'm not scared. Not much.
He hasn't really invented anything massively futuristic and impossible in the course of the entire series. You notice the way a lot of it is about psychology, and that good science fiction is always about psychology, and that's why
there's always a bit of reality.
It's a very good thing to be looking at if you are in real estate, is go and look at this episode and a couple of others. And have a think through how your behavior and things you're doing in your business are like this already. Also, be careful what you wish for.
Absolutely. So what we're talking about is this scarily connected world, and something that you've talked about a lot recently, because realestate.com.au are delivering the news on things like Amazon Alexa.
Yes.
So talk us through the whole voice piece, and I'll ask you a question on the connectedness of different devices in a second, but do you see voice activation as being a really big thing over the next couple of years?
I think it's here now. I can remember, I'm old enough to remember way back in 2007 when the iPhone came out. You know, I've got one of the threes here. We were not really that excited about touching the screen. The idea of little icons and touching the glass to make things work was pretty creepy to us. And we thought, that'll never work. That's impractical. I want to type and use a mouse-like device, which is what I had on my Nokia N95. Boy, we got used to that real quick. And voice is the same thing. So voice is just another access channel to whatever intelligence we're carrying around with us. So it's done. It's here. 25% of searches in America are done with voice already. Mm. We've got used to, you've been training your family to use the Google Home. And the important thing is what's behind it. When we ask a device, what is behind that? What artificial intelligence is behind that? So Microsoft devices, it's Cortana. Apple devices, it's Siri. Google devices, it's Assistant. Amazon devices, it's Alexa. What is the nature of each of those characters? And where are they getting their information from? How intelligent are they? How secure are they? How clever are they in terms of finding things for you?
Well, they don't like each other at the moment, I can tell, because I've got a Google Home and my 16-year-old daughter has got Alexa. And we tried to make them talk to each other, a bit like another Black Mirror episode. And it ended badly with Google Home saying, I think Alexa's very nice, which...
Pretty passive aggressive.
I reckon it is. But what I'm hearing is that some real estate agents, particularly in America, are starting to use Alexa really well. And I'll give you a scenario. I run a property management company or a holiday rental home. I've got an Amazon Alexa in every property that I manage so that the tenants can say, hey, Alexa, the roof's broken, or hey, Alexa, I need to find a restaurant. And real estate agents are actually using this stuff now.
That's a good imaginative use of it. It's really an access channel. And we do talk pretty readily, and typing's a pretty old-fashioned way of doing it. Probably the critical technology that allowed this leap was two bits of AI. Both Microsoft and Apple got there at roughly the same time. But the capacity to go from voice to text and comprehend the voice, it's actually beyond the human capacity now on average. So they'll get 94% of speech correct in the interpretation. That was the leap. That was about 18 months ago. And, you know, Google's right behind. So we're seeing that be the important pivot point. Mm. Then it's really important for property managers and agents to understand what is the intelligent assistant they've connected to relying on for information. I think this is the horror story in rentals in Australia today, is that if we become reliant on Siri, for example, as asking Siri, and let's just do it. Let's just give it a crack, shall we? So, hey, Siri, who's the best rental real estate agent in Richmond?
The best rate adoption I found is Biggin and Scott on Bridge Road, but it only averages 1 star. Does that one sound good?
Thank you, Siri.
1 star.
So this is the entire Apple ecosystem problem. Yeah. So that's a 1 star review. Biggin and Scott are friends of ours. That is a review on a system called Yelp that's driving that, because clearly Apple can't buy Google reviews. Mm-hmm. They can't buy Facebook reviews, won't sell them to them. Mm-hmm. And so they have to go to Yelp, which is a third party that largely reviews restaurants around the world. They've uploaded the entire census Yellow Pages database of businesses in Australia and populated them all with 0 stars. Now, if you're an angry tenant or a landlord or someone who's had an unhappy experience, you will go to great lengths to find and dump on a company. And so an angry tenant has found Yelp as an engine, dumped on Biggin and Scott, who didn't know, because it's an obscure background. It says you never expect your Australian business to be on the damn thing. Mm. And left them a steaming pile of turd and a 1-star review. Mm. And now if I ask the world's most popular phone, who's the best real estate agent to rent a property, and I get this. And if I go through, I'm going to be deeply put off by what I read. And they didn't even know it was there.
Yeah, I know. That's the scary bit, that already everyone's rating you in these different systems. What about Alexa? What if I said, hey, Alexa, who's the best real estate agent in Richmond?
So Alexa doesn't have a search engine. So it's an Amazon shopping-oriented thing. They've connected with Bing, which is Microsoft's search engine, to try and do those kind of things.
Yeah.
Just not going to be able to compete. If you want to buy some shoes or things, then Alexa is your absolute best friend. My favorite Alexa is the one that sits on your dressing table and you go, hey, Alexa, how do I look? And, you know, she's not happy with your 6 out of 10. She can deliver me a new tie by lunchtime using a drone. You know, that's the proposal. But ask her something that's relevant to our industry, not so much. That said, they're by far the easiest ecosystem for somebody like REA Labs to build skills for. Now, skills are like a service, which is what we built with our news service. You know, we have 400 news stories around property a week published in one channel or another. We just thought, well, let's edit the top 5 or 6 a day. And now here's the irony.
Read me the news.
It's an ancient skill we had to drag up called radio.
Wow.
So we had to suddenly rewrite some of our content as if it was a radio show. And I love the fact that what's old is new again. And get those first paragraphs of those stories sounding great for radio. And it's kind of the text-to-voice thing's not perfect. I compare the text-to-voice or the voice interaction with Google's Duplex AI, which was announced a month ago.
Which was amazing.
Yeah, you heard the booking of the restaurant and the hairdresser's appointment.
Yeah, when you can actually hear the assistant going, mm-hmm, just like I am right now.
Yeah, you know, we should play that really just to have people, if they haven't heard this interaction, hear it.
Okay, then let's play it. The first voice you hear is a human. The second is Google Duplex or a Googlebot.
What's happening, Alfie?
Hi, I'm calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
it is frightening, the level of human intonation perfection that that assistant has. There's only one moment in the hairdresser appointment booking I can tell it's a machine.
Yeah.
Google's the winner there because it's attached to the biggest search engine and the biggest review engine. Now, getting a service onto Google is actually more complicated than you'd imagine. The rules are epic, and navigating through them, and you've got to win at the search game first. You can't just own an inquiry. They call them invocations. So if you ask Alexa, hey, Alexa, what's my property news? That's the invocation that calls the realestate.com.au property news. And it's a gold rush on at the moment. It's like, remember domain names in the 90s? Everyone was registering all the things.
And now you've got to register Alexa skills.
Yeah, good luck getting property news because I've got it for life.
Yeah, that's very interesting the way that that's all unfolding at the moment.
In Australia, the competition between which platform to be on is tremendous. There was a device war over Christmas, you know. I think the announcement that Alexa were coming out in March stimulated Google to promote, give away, sell and partner the hugest number of Google Homes. So a lot of homes aren't going to have two. They're not as advanced and nerdy as your house. And they're just going to have the one and connect it to Spotify, connect it to a few things in the meantime. And look, every one of these things is an arms race amongst trillion-dollar companies. So there'll be devices everywhere. But don't forget Siri, that's on everyone's phone, and Google Assistant is on your phone as well.
Do you think they'll ever all come together, or will they just...
There is no chance at all of that happening. This is a race, as I describe it. It's the same race that's been played out in history, towards a walled garden. So a walled garden is an ecosystem of a community, a connected community. They're selling things, they're socially interconnecting. Since the internet began, this has been the race. I can remember a thing called AOL in the 80s and 90s, America Online. Yeah. People didn't even know that wasn't the internet. All of the things you needed, buying stuff, the news, searching for stuff, were all contained within a walled garden called AOL. MSN had a crack at it. When you get it, it's incredibly difficult to dislodge, which is why high-stakes race to build that again. WeChat have done it in China. And this is has driven to the Chinese social credit score ability. The race is on. Facebook, Amazon, Google, eBay, all absolutely chasing to build the walled garden of search, sell, and social.
It's interesting that you say that. I'm seeing reputation specialist being a job title of the future, like Lacey's reputation specialist, because it...
You realise it's a job now.
It's a job now.
It's a job now, absolutely. Yeah,
they call them PR people, don't they?
Maybe
that's where that's going to go.
It's called profile grooming. I don't like the phrase. And, of course, in Lacey's, it's coaching. It's like it's about coaching you to get your reputation score up.
So if reputation specialist, well, it's a job title now, but it'll be a job title for sure in the future. What are agents going to do?
The interesting thing is I don't think having extra mechanics like this will actually change the job of an intermediary or a broker type of role in the world of real estate. It'll happen more quickly in the world of rentals than it will in buy. Buy is such an emotive, complex transaction with all of your money on the table. It's never the perfect fit, and you're only going to do it every 11 years. The interesting thing is I think the chance for disruption in rental is higher. Because it's a very logical process. We're all quite good at it. If we're renters, we do it every year. We know how it works. It's a linear left to right process. You get your notice. You've been in there a year. You know it's coming up. You get asked, are you staying or do you want to go? The rent's going up $20. You make that decision. You give your notice. You look on realestate.com.au. You ask your friends on Facebook, are there know any good rentals in the area? And you walk through this thing with some expertise. You get it wrong. The consequences aren't great. Oh, terrible. I didn't realize we were living next door to a gang house in our new rental. You let it go, you know, and you pay a little penalty, but you're not losing your life savings or, in Australia, stamp duty, which is probably most people's life savings on a transaction. So, yeah, I think disruption will occur in real estate, but the role of the agent or property manager as a broker, because every single property choice is a compromise, is really, really vital. And the challenge becomes, I think, in this fast-moving connected world, to stop thinking of the rock star individuals in this process and start working in teams. Now, this is the lesson we've learned from being nerds and technologists. When faced with complex problems like this in the past, our most effective way of working is a multidisciplinary team. It's the foundation of REA Group's success is our ability to actually, we've got one of the few companies in the world where people work in sales and people who work in IT like each other.
Yeah.
And it's a tremendous result when you do that. Now, in the world of real estate, I observe a very much a rock star culture. There are super performers and flunkies, the entourage kind of factor. Everyone's going to have to work out how to work as a much more equalized team, each with their specialty. You know, someone's great at OFI. So you break the work down. This is how you automate and create bots that are good. You break the work down and you go, well, I know Nigel used to do all the things for his customer, but now Nigel's really good at taking the phone calls, which he's not, by the way. He's terrible. He's an introvert. Do that and then divide the work up and divide it amongst the team, and I will then add for you a digital assistant for your team.
Yeah, that's something that there's been a lot of talk of lately, the digital employee.
Yes, it's great. You don't actually have to pay them salary or provide them lattes in the morning.
Yeah, but the job will change. So just thinking, like the last time we spoke, which was sometime, I think it was last year around Transform, because you were a coach and coached the guys to do better things online, I had a guy come into my office talking to me about the future of rental bonds. And he was a pretty interesting guy. So what he did was he made me sign up to see how much money I could get as a tenant to go towards my bond, because he was saying that people that don't have a lot of money in the bank aren't necessarily untrustworthy. So he made me stick my details into his system, my Facebook profile, my LinkedIn profile, my eBay profile, and a few other bits and pieces, and it came out with a trust score for me of 92, and therefore they would give me $4,000 towards my bond. Does this mean the end of things like tenancy databases and forging of profiles and things like that?
I think so.
As a property manager, will I be reference checking, for example, in the future?
No, I think there's tremendous operational efficiency to be gained. And I've heard a lot of people in the industry complain about tenancy databases, the ineffectiveness of court actions, of trying to get money back from people. There's a lot, huge amount of time to be saved in getting that right. We have to remember that credit scoring is a very old science now, the FICO score in the USA. Whether you add in these social dimensions, there's a risk to this because a lot of social is faked. There's an enormous number of bots. There are people with 20,000 followers who I got two. And how did they get 20,000? Well, chances are 70% of them they bought. And it was 20,000.
I've seen a few profiles like
20,000 followers. What do you reckon the market price for 20,000 followers is?
$5.
Oh, it's $50.
Oh, so, okay. I lowballed.
Yeah, most of them are bots and most of them are made in Russia or China. So fakery is a big, big problem. And the fakery's been a problem in the world of finance and banking for a long time. And this just adds this massive extra dimension because people like me can make fake bots. And we're going to have the arms race of bots coming up, basically.
Bots talking to bots.
But trust is the currency of the internet, and finding a way of making that better has to be everyone's goal. And we have one form here, which is a really brilliant way of automating the rental process to save time in that trust element. But as Australians, I think we're reluctant to leave feedback about people, and where sometimes it's not two-sided. And to be a fully trusting, connected economy, it has to work two sides. So we have to go, the tenant gets rated, the property manager gets rated, and the landlord gets rated. And that's Lacey's world in Nosedive. We're not there yet. The power lies with the property manager. And they may well be able to say, well, no, we're not getting rated. Thanks very much. But the tenants, I can tell you now, given Australia's kind of egalitarian culture and this technology, we're just going to all have to put up with the fact we've got, you've got 92 points. I'm a bit jealous. It's like, that's a damn fine score.
Yeah, well, just on that topic, Netflix actually did make an app on Twitter that gave you the same sort of scores as Lacey. Now, I put in Elite Agent Mag as my first one because I didn't want to put myself in to see what it gave me. But for Elite Agent Mag, it gave me a 4.1, which I was quite happy with. And then when I put myself in, and I've got more followers and engage more with people on Twitter, and it gave me a 3.2. And I was gutted.
It's hard on the ego, isn't it, to hear it? So, you know, you could be my modern-day Lacey, really, is just, you know, I need to go find a coach to fix my Twitter profile.
I might miss out on that next property or that next flight or that next upgrade or that next whatever it is because my profile is only 3.2.
Look, and we should also talk about privacy and security of profiles at the same time. As we've seen, it's been a tough week in the world of real estate privacy. With the PEXA scandal and the hacking of a conveyancing system, young couple lost $250K. I believe it's been put right overnight, which is fantastic. But
she was on MasterChef, I think.
Danny was on MasterChef, yeah. It was just a really tragic tale. We have Craig Templeton, who's our Chief Information Security Officer, very wise, experienced fellow around this. He's got a very good phrase which applies very well to all businesses. Things go wrong. It's not what goes wrong, it's what happens next. So it either goes wronger or you confess, put it right, and this is exactly the same philosophy for online reviews. You got a stinker, it's gone wrong. What you do next dictates your future. And people should engage in that. There's every chance the original flamer, as we used to call them in the world of the internet, the person who's flamed you with the one-star review, there's every chance they're done and out and don't want to engage in an intelligent conversation. Otherwise, they would have phoned you. They wanted to go on there and they wanted to grandstand and get that done. You need to go out there and publish the response. Most platforms have a response option. And just show, look, things go wrong. We learned from this. Please call us if there's a problem. Every single other person who goes to that review will read your piece. Find out if you're human. Are you decent people? That's the trick. Engage.
Yeah, absolutely. Lastly, I just wanted to talk quickly about, while we're busy geeking out here, the Internet of Things, which is changing the world considerably around us right now. And you've probably got a lot of connected devices around here.
Yeah, don't ask the lights go on and off.
So how big a factor will the Internet of Things be in managing property in the future?
Right now, it's an unmitigated disaster as far as I'm concerned as a technologist. Nothing connects to anything. So it's a full-on standards war, trying to get a set of lights that connect to a home security system or a heating system, a refrigerator. It's the walled garden problem. Every single vendor from Samsung to Apple to Amazon to Google are attempting to build an independent network of devices. That locks you in. And it's actually a standing joke amongst the technology world how complex it is to get a Philips light bulb to talk to a Google system. And one of my very nerdy colleagues is one of the world's best engineers. He wrote a gigantic program to make that happen. He did that as a standing joke to go, well, this is not ready yet. So security systems, the ability to allow someone to let themselves in at an open because you've given them a passcode, those kind of things. I'm not a fan of that yet. It's pretty funny. The hacks on these things are often so, so basic where voice commands can let you into a home. And someone sounds a bit like you. You know, there's some very funny stories. One that was told in the tech community of the neighbor coming over to their apartment and then this nerdy bloke's absolutely Siri'd his house within an inch of its life and wants to borrow something, but the tenant's just heading out to work. And he says, look, I can't right now. I really am running. I'm late for work. And the guy's, no problem. And just goes, hey, Siri, let me into the house. And the door opens.
Sorry, I couldn't find that speaker.
Siri interrupting our conversation there.
So interesting. So Siri just woke up when you said, hey, Siri.
Siri's listening the whole time.
Okay, that was the question I was going to ask because, you know, like with Facebook being in trouble with privacy concerns and all the rest of it, I've often been sitting at home wondering if Google Home is listening to every single word I say.
Look, it probably is. It probably is.
To jump to attention.
This capacity to understand natural language didn't happen entirely in a laboratory. It's the same as the demonstration of Google Duplex. They had that thing phone 5,000 hair salons.
Wow.
Imagine being the hair salons.
Yeah.
Imagine if that had been a real estate agency call that they decided to demonstrate and there would have been 5,000 calls to rental agencies in Silicon Valley training it to work.
If I thought that was a real estate agent calling me back, I would be kind of like, ugh,
We've become very jaded by international telemarketers in Australia, which now call our mobile phones. The technology to do that's remarkable. They basically dial every 9-digit combination and then just eliminate quickly when they're not answered and create their own database. So they're not actually stealing a database of buying a database of phone numbers from anyone.
Yeah.
They can achieve that in a matter of weeks. They then have an accurate database of who's online. If you answered, you become the next level up in the system. And if you actually engage in a conversation, you're a hot lead for anything accordingly. So we're used to telemarketers. We're going to have to become used to digital assistants phoning us. And I predict the response will go one of two ways. It'll either we'll be cool with it or we will have our digital assistant answer those calls.
Then you can sort of say to the boss that you've made all of your calls too, because your phone records are actually going to show that your digital assistant has done all your callbacks for you.
Actually, my greatest fear is that people are going to subscribe to me, mate, Tom Panos's real estate gym, and they're going to learn to make 20 calls by 10 o'clock and join the 5 a.m. club. They're not going to do that. They're going to stay in bed and get their assistant to make 20 calls by 10 o'clock. They could call their entire database within 3 weeks, have got 10 leads, and the others never want to talk to them again. Weaponized property managers, weaponized real estate agents, it will just escalate.
Yeah.
And we'll be in Lacey Land before no time.
Before we know it. So that's going a little bit into the future. Let's dial back to the next couple of months. You'll be speaking at ARPM, which is a great conference, and we always love going to ARPM. What are some of the things that you'll be talking about at ARPM?
Well, I'm pretty excited. The timing's fantastic because we've actually got our next hackathon, our next REA Inventorship Days, the 3 days before. So back here in the office, the whole office kind of downs tools, and the focus this time is on rent. So we love that. And I'm a social scientist. I'm not actually an engineer. I'm a behavioral economist by trade. And the currency of my life is emotion. I look for where is the emotion, because where there's that, there are problems to solve and opportunities to build things. Mm. There is so much emotion today in property management. Like there is just stress and pressure and tears. This is all three parts of the equation: property managers, tenants, and the owners as well. I'll bring a few of those inventions along if it's any good. I will talk about my constant theme of the three things I'm making are time, trust, and transparency. They're the three currencies of property. They're actually the currencies of the web as well. I love that intersection. That makes my job easy. And the way technology works, I can guarantee there are three new crazy stories by August that I will have a joy in bringing to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, Nigel, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. We always love talking to you. I rate every interview 5 stars. So thank you very much, and we'll look forward to seeing you at ARPM.
I'm very excited about coming and meeting all those people. It's such a hardworking industry. I hope they manage to take Saturday off and get to Sydney as well.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.